You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am a stone's throw away from the Gulf of Mexico, calling in via telephone tonight as I'm connected to our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, connected there via satellite to the Liberty News Radio Network in Utah, and coming out to you, ladies and gentlemen, and affiliate stations across the country on the AM or FM dial, and of course on our internet stream at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm in Biloxi, Mississippi tonight, the great state of Mississippi. I love Mississippi. My roots are in Mississippi. Of course, I was born in Tennessee. Both my parents were born in Tennessee, but my grandparents on both sides of the family hailed from Mississippi, as do my extended family, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. We are Mississippians. I am a second-generation Tennessean, and so here I am in Mississippi tonight. Keith up at the studio in Memphis, about 6 hours north of here, maybe a little bit further than that, up I-55, and we've had a pretty good show so far. It's the show itself will get better from here. The news will be equally as atrocious, but here it goes. Let's just get right into it. A textbook double standard for you out of Hope's Mill, North Carolina. They had an Independence Day parade. Not that anyone would know the significance of the 4th of July, as we talked about last week, but nevertheless, they know it's a day that you have a parade, and so there was one in Hope Mills, North Carolina, and a guy there had the audacity to have a parade float that had a sign which read, "White History Month, hug white people." Now, of course, the media in that little hamlet was absolutely beside themselves. They're livid. I mean, how dare he have a sign that reads White History Month? Don't they know that it's bad to have history months based upon racial identity? I mean, God knows there's no such thing as Black History Month, right? Oh, well, no, wrong. I mean, you know, Black History Month is ramrodded down our throats by the very same national media that has a problem with White History Month and the federal government itself. They force us to reflect on Black History Month, an imaginary black invention, each and every February. So how could it possibly be offensive when that is allowed for this one guy in one parade in one small little North Carolina town to have a sign which reads White History Month? Well, of course, the disease of white guilt, self-hatred, and cultural Marxism has nearly rotted the very soul of many of our people. But God bless this guy. There's absolutely nothing controversial about such a parade float whatsoever. But we're going to actually listen to the clip of this one right now. This is the clip from the local news broadcast pertaining to this story. Let's fire it up if it's ready. And it may not be ready because I didn't give a fair warning that we were going to be using it this segment. So maybe we can get it queued
up. Start tap dancing, James.
Yeah, right. Maybe we can get it queued up and we'll play it in the next segment. But Keith, go ahead and sink your teeth into this one. I mean, obviously, just, you know, this show is about race, politics, and hypocrisy. The hypocrisy, you could trip over it. You know, it could not be a more blatant double standard. Black History Month, good. White History Month, racist. And not allowed in the parade anymore.
Well, what it is, James, you know, it was said pretty well by our illustrious mayor here in Memphis, Tennessee, regarding the renaming of the Confederate-themed municipal parks in Memphis. He said, in the past, you people were in a dominant position legally and socially, but we are now in charge and you're not, and you can no longer honor your history by naming parks or streets after your people. And it's just that blatant. We live in an Orwellian animal farm in today's America in which all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And apparently, white people are the most unequal animals of all. We're the people that can be persecuted, bludgeoned with impunity. And, folks, it's only going to get worse. If you think that somehow through miscegenation or through the passage of time when whites diminish as a percentage of the population that things are going to get better, then you're living in la-la land, because you see how the other side treats us when they don't have a numerical majority. Imagine how bad the treatment is going to get when they do have a numerical majority. What's it going to be like? Well, luckily for us, we have a preview. It's called Zimbabwe and South Africa. If you want to see how well we're going to be treated by our new non-white racial overlords, look at the way white people are treated today in South Africa and in Zimbabwe. I mean, it's genocide. It's been called genocide by the Genocide Watch organization, which is a left-wing an outfit as you'll ever find, Jane.
Well, Keith, that very well may be the case. It certainly is genocide. World on the Daily is doing some great reports on what's going on in South Africa, and we've covered it fairly often on this program as well. But you're absolutely right. What passes for minority rights, so-called minority rights, which is special privileges for all minorities now because whites are still the numerical majority, it won't flip. Once we are the minority in America, minority rights and preferential treatment for minorities will be a thing of the past. And it'll be a thing of the past the day whites become a minority.
Well, it's almost a thing of the past right now as far as white rights. You know, we had a friend named Curtis from Florida who made a wonderful comment to me about Geraldo Rivera's show, where it says not left, not right, but something else. He said it ought to be not left, not right, just anti-white. That's what the mainstream conservatives and liberals both stand for today in today's America. And it ain't going to get no better, friends. It's going to get worse. And I tell you what, you can tell that white people need to be the people in charge because we're the only people who are fair to all groups. For example, look at the Confederate Parks controversy in Memphis. Can you put it on the shoe on the other foot? Can you imagine any white mayor or any white majority municipal council in any city, town, or hamlet in America unnaming Martin Luther King Boulevard? It's not because Martin Luther King is a paragon. It's because we're sensitive to the feelings of other racial groups. Other racial groups don't give two hoots in hell about our feelings.
That's absolutely
or anything
right.
else about it.
It was so rewarding. You're talking about Martin Luther King Boulevard, which every city, town, village, population above two has a Martin Luther King Boulevard in it. And it's not just a Southern thing. I mean, that's everywhere. Driving down Beach Boulevard here in Biloxi today, of course, Beauvoir, the Jefferson Davis home is here. But there's actually a Jefferson Davis Boulevard here, and it doesn't even cross Beauvoir. It's just, you would think, okay, well, right in front of his house, maybe they gave him a little honorary street, but no. It's a major avenue here, and so that was encouraging to see. And you can still find that in small Southern towns. Biloxi's not necessarily tiny.
Well, you're
going to
see less and less of that as the non-white population grows. It's either going to be Martin Luther King Boulevard or Cesar Chavez Boulevard, but it sure ain't going to be Jefferson Davis Boulevard.
Well, you still have it in some of the smaller Southern towns. You know, you go into any small Southern town like Covington.
Well, that's because of the racial demographics of that town. Believe me, the demographics
right.
are in the process of changing.
Well, hopefully, I mean, it is. We would say hopefully not. We'll see. But it's good to know that they are still here. We'll say, for now, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, everybody. Just a second ago, we were talking about, grotesque and blatant double standard on display in Hope Mills, North Carolina. Black History Month, good. The government, the media, they all force you to celebrate it. It's ramrodded down your throat, stamps about it at the post office. The slightest mention of White History Month in a nondescript parade float through a town with a small population, and the seventh level of hell is being raised. Let's listen, if we can, to the news footage regarding that story there in Hope Mills, North Carolina, and then we'll wrap the coverage up of the story and move to something else.
Hope Mills today because of this sign that rolled through the 4th of July parade. A Hope Mills farmer who was a regular in the town's 4th of July parade posted something on his tractor that some spectators found shocking. Hello, I'm David Crabtree.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. That sign has triggered complaints to town leaders, prompting them to consider how to prevent it from happening again. WRL's Brian Mintz is live in Hope Mills to explain what's going on. Brian?
Deborah, we heard about this through an email complaint to us. The viewer declined to do any interviews, but she called the display, in her words, racist garbage, sad, and incredibly stupid. Well, take a look for yourselves.
There it is, right on Main Street. A poster with the words, White History Month, hug white people. It's on a trailer filled with watermelons behind a John Deere tractor flying a Confederate flag. And here's the entry form to appear in the town-sponsored parade. 8 to 10 antique tractors and a load full of watermelons to sell. John Ellis is the town manager.
There was no mention of any type of signage. At the lineup, our Parks and Rec director saw it. The gentleman was asked to remove it. We thought it had been removed.
That gentleman was Donnie Spell, who has appeared in the parade with his old tractors for years. Town officials say he has shown up with Confederate flags before, but never with a poster like this. Spell lives just south of town, where we found his John Deere-colored gate locked. We went there to speak with him, but couldn't reach him.
Yeah, I think if you talk to him, you're going to see that it's not anything meant to be vicious.
Jackie Warner is the mayor of Hope Mills. She says she has received a few complaints about the display.
Right. Are you upset that sign was in the parade?
Well, I, you know, upset because I worry now in the day and time that we're in that we, I don't want to say have to be cautious, but I think we have to be respectful of all.
I showed the picture to a couple of people on Main Street. Would you be offended if you were watching the parade and you saw this go by?
It would catch my eye. I'd probably kind of be like, what's the deal? Why are you doing something like this?
I would think about it, but it wouldn't bother me, you know, to that point, you know, because I'm my own person.
The town manager says in light of this, there could be some changes to the parade application process. He says town officials will have to do some research and confer with the town attorney. His goal, everyone's goal, is to keep this parade a wholesome family event. Deborah?
Brian Mims live in Cumberland County. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, what stood out to me about that story was, first of all, this guy is a local farmer, so you know he's just probably a good old Southern guy, probably a Christian, tax-paying, hard-working farmer. They said he's a regular in the parade and that he's had Confederate flags on display on his float before. That wasn't what was the controversy. The controversy was that he had a sign that read White History Month, a sign that they say is shocking. The town is now going to take measures to prevent such signage from appearing in the future. They received complaints, undoubtedly from blacks, maybe from whites, that said that the sign, again, which simply read White History Month, was sad, racist garbage and incredibly stupid. And the town, as you heard, Keith, is going to take measures to prevent the sign from reappearing because they want to keep the parade wholesome for families. Well, would a Black History Month sign incur the wrath and such critiques as sad, racist garbage? Obviously not.
Yeah, why is this unwholesome, sad, racist garbage to express a sense of solidarity for white people or to assume that white people are entitled to have pride in their race and their heritage, just like black people, just like Hispanics, just like Jews, just like Asians, yada, 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 as they say on Seinfeld? What this shows is the complete victory of the left. Even the mayor of some southern hamlet now feels constrained by political correctness to toe the politically correct line. They know, because of Paula Deen, because of John Derbyshire, because of Sam Francis, and everyone else who's been persecuted for showing pro-white ideas or expressing a politically incorrect, unreconstructed outlook on anything, that you can be destroyed financially, politically, and every other way except having a bullet put in the base in the base of your brain in the basement of the Lubyanka by political correctness. Political correctness is the enforcement arm of modern liberalism, and apparently it has even the mayor of this small town intimidated. Now, let me also mention the fact that you identified the farmer who is responsible for this great outrage, apparently, as a typical Southern white guy. Kevin McDonald was on our show and has been numerous times, and he said in one of our interviews that if there had been an American Bolshevik Revolution paralleling the Russian Bolshevik Revolution, we know who would have been sent to the gulags in the American Bolshevik Revolution. It would have been Southern white people. Why did he reach that conclusion? He said that Southern white people had all the same characteristics that the Jewish Bolsheviks of the Russian Revolution found to be so objectionable. One, they're Christian. Two, they are conservative or culturally backward, as the Bolsheviks like to say. And three, and most importantly of all, they're not good candidates or likely candidates for conversion to the revolutionary mindset. So consequently, they need to be eliminated. You know, Bill Ayers, that wonderful public educator at the top of the food chain in the Illinois state public educational hierarchy, told an FBI agent, who he did not know was an FBI agent back in his days of being an SDS Weatherman, that when the revolution succeeded, at least 25% of the American population would have to be liquidated. Apparently, Southern whites are crime among that group that need liquidation in the eyes of the left. And they're going to make sure that any vestige of regionalism or regional thinking is rooted out, root and branch, from the psyche of Southerners. We are being subjected to a full-blown brainwashing assault and have been for over 50 years, James, and this is just the latest chapter in it. Hello? You there, James?
Yeah, I'm here, Keith. I was saying, of course, you're right, and apparently there's no transgression too small if a parade float.
I mean, you know, and this is an narco-tyranny, and as Sam Francis said, why is something like this even noteworthy when we have things like that mother in New Jersey being beaten up by a black burglar, kicked down the basement stairs from the first floor of her home in full view of her three-year-old? Why is that not leading the news? Why is a piece of silliness like these, you know, exquisite objections to, you know, this is silly. Anybody that would get offended about this needs to find something to do with their life. If this is really important enough to have a news report about and to complain about, then my advice to whoever that complaining or that chronic malcontent is, get a life. This is ridiculous.
Get a life is right. I could not agree with you more. They are so hypersensitive. It's not even about them truly being offended. It's just how they can stick it to the people.
They love to show how much power they have. You can't even express an idea without incurring the wrath of Khan.
You got it.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Oh yeah, oh, wanna be by my side. Oh yeah, oh, now it's finally time.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards and Keith Alexander. I want to transition, Keith, to another story that has not yet appeared on our website, but will next week. CNN had recently aired a special report, an hour-long special report, and this ties into our coverage of the George Zimmerman trial, which I think we did a pretty bang-up job of in the first hour, if I do say so myself. Basically, it was a panel discussing the use of the N-word, and this brilliantly tapped into viewers' summer appetite for all things Paula Deen and George Zimmerman. CNN improved its rating fortune a whopping 90% with this hour-long special on the use of the N-word. And in this panel discussion, Keith, you would think that perhaps, I mean, certainly they would have your typical black liberal on there to talk about how evil use of the word is and how everybody should be sent to the gulag for it. And you would expect there to be someone like that, maybe a guy that comes from a pro-white perspective, somebody like me or you who have made staking their claim in the media from such a point of view. And then maybe a couple of other blacks. I mean, the deck would be stacked. But no, that's not how the panel was made up at all. It was five blacks and then Tim Wise. And, of course, Tim Wise is the venomous anti-white Jewish commentator who famously wrote a 2010 article celebrating the death of white people. So this was the panel of experts that CNN put forth to discuss the use of the N-word. Five blacks. A Jewish liberal, and you can imagine how bad it was and how there was absolutely no differing of opinion on the issue at hand. But one of the segments focused on what's worse, the N-word or calling a white person cracker. And this is actually something that came up in conversation today. I'd always thought that the cracker derogatory term, if you could possibly be offended by that, which certainly I'm not. I mean, I just think it's dumb. I just thought that was the best thing they could come up with, like a saltine cracker. We're white saltines. I thought it was something like that. But actually, and I found this out today, when they refer to a white person as cracker, it has nothing to do with the food. It has to do with slave drivers. The overseer of slaves was the whip cracker. So when they call you a cracker, they are referring to you as a slave owner or someone who sees blacks as slaves or something of the sort. So anyway, this was the panel. This was the discussion. Take it from there, Keith.
Well, I wouldn't put much credibility in that description of the etymology of the word cracker. It reminds me of, I'd heard that honky was because black children were annoyed at white people driving through their neighborhoods who, when they ran out in the street mindlessly chasing a ball or something, would honk their horns, and this is a reference to that. I don't believe that one either.
Well, the cracker one makes sense, at least.
But let me tell you this. This shows you, you know, that calling Tim Wise a white liberal isn't doing him credit, doing him justice. He is a Jewish leftist radical par excellence. He makes his living by going to colleges and other organizations and putting on his white privilege seminars, trying to guilt trip young, impressionable white kids, particularly ones entering college, and telling them basically that they're headed for the gas chambers, at least metaphorically speaking, that they are the unworthy beneficiaries of white privilege. That's the only reason they come from better backgrounds or are better spoken or have higher SAT scores than their non-white peers, except for, of course, the Asians that outdo them. And nobody ever seems to mention that if it's white privilege, where's the Asian privilege that causes these people to outscore blacks and Hispanics? No one wants to mention any of that. So consequently, what you have is a conversation. This is what apparently Eric Holder had in mind when he wanted a conversation about race, that he mentioned at the beginning of Obama's first administration, first term of, 4-year term. And he wants to have a conversation between white people and black people, with white people being represented by a wild-eyed radical like Tim Wise, who probably his viewpoint is probably shared by less than 0.5% of white people anywhere. But he is the white spokesman. He's the spokesman for you and me, James. And meanwhile, the rest of the panel, didn't you say they were black or non-white at least? What was the makeup?
Saw was five blacks and then Tim Wise. And, of course, he's put forth as the white guy on the panel, even though he's Jewish, and he certainly doesn't characterize himself as white.
He hates white people. His whole career has been based on hatred of white people and white privilege. So, you know, my goodness. This
so what kind of conversation on race
imaginable? And it's all anti-white. It's like our friend Curtis said in Florida, not left, not right, just anti-white.
Well, it couldn't have been much of a conversation. It had to be an echo chamber, but, apparently this is what gets the ratings, and this is, you know, from the media perspective, I mean, yes, they're anti-white, but it gets ratings. I mean, this hour-long special boosted CNN's ratings by 90%. So, you know, think of how good it could have been for them if they actually had somebody on there that disagreed with the other people, like me or you.
Well, you know, just think about this. It's, you know, having that type of discussion about race, and the fact that it gets fairly decent ratings shows you how hungry this nation is for a true and honest conversation or dialogue about race. The problem is they're not going to stop shoving a sock down the mouth of people like you and me that would really give them the counterpoint or the opposite viewpoint to their biased left-wing drivel.
And, well, and of course, what we not, say
they,
seems-
they don't intend to let us up off the mat.
Well, what we say is it's hardly offensive, and we're not shock jocks, far from it. I mean, we try to give a professional, polished, well-reasoned, and articulate
That's why we'll never see the light of day on CNN again, because that's the last thing that the left wants. The left wants to imagine that the public debate on race goes from Al Sharpton at one end to Tim Wise on the other, and anything else is totally invalid.
But if they do have someone claiming to be pro-white, they'll put on a zealot. They'll put on somebody.
Well, they'll try to find some guy that, you know, is going to be a total basket case. They don't want the public to believe that anyone can hold a pro-white viewpoint without being certifiably insane.
Well, they'll go to Jerry Springer's casting agency and get one of these make-believe Klansmen on just to make fools of themselves and of our people, and this is who they'll cast as the pro-white guy. I mean, you know, it's either a caricature like that or somebody like Tim Wise, but you're not getting the genuine article. You're not getting the James Edwards. You're not getting the Keith Alexander or a Jared Taylor or a Dr. Kevin McDonald or many of the others that are very clear and precise in their delivery. These people, if you do have them on, and we have, you know, received a lot of national media attention, it's always us being put on the defensive where we're defending ourselves from attack rather than being invited to join in a participation of a discussion.
Amen. That's it. That's, you know, there's not much more to be said about this. It just shows you how corrupt the news media is. Of course, the news media is dominated by the usual suspects, and that's our code word.
And if you don't believe us, just ask them. They'll tell you.
Same as there. And the one thing that these people can be dependent upon being the usual suspects is off the chart liberals. So off the chart liberalism is all you're ever going to get.
The usual suspects, of course, being not just Jews, but radical Jews. I mean, there are Jews out there that have common decency on issues, and we're friends with many of them that agree with us. But no, I mean, you know, they write about it.
I agree with that. But on the other hand, it is, you know, irrefutable factually that 4 out of 5 voting age Jewish people in America voted for the Democratic candidate. So I don't think we're misrepresenting them by saying that Jewish people are typically liberal.
No, that's right. That's right. And we oppose them because of that. I mean, that's another thing, another lie, that we oppose them simply because they're Jewish, and that's just not true. We oppose them because...
they're liberal and we're conservative.
Well, that's it. I think they are driven in large part by hate, whereas we're not. I mean, we have objective criticisms of them, but you can't objectively criticize anyone that's non-white without getting the racist or anti-Semite canard hurled at you, and then you spend all your time debating that, whether you are or not motivated by hatred. If you disagree with them, it's because you hate them, not because you actually disagree with them. This is, of course, one of the great lies. We got to take a break, folks. Stay tuned as the political festival rolls on. I'm James B. Keith. We're rocking and rolling on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hi, this is Vincent Finelli with USAPrepares.com. This July 19th, 20th, and 21st is our 6th Get Prepared Expo in Lebanon, Missouri, the largest in the USA. This is your opportunity to get prepared for every type of emergency and disaster that's headed our way. We've had deadly hurricanes, deadly tornadoes, deadly droughts. The Get Prepared Expo has the exhibits, the demonstrations, the seminars, and the workshops designed to help you prepare. Learn how and where to start and how to plan for contingencies. Expect more seminars than you can attend. Violent climate change, water purification, solar power, storm shelters, food storage plans, survival gardening, detecting radiation. What if you can't get to a doctor to fill a prescription? Learn alternative ways to control your blood pressure, learn natural healing, become a Native American medicine man or woman. 3 days, $18 at Get Prepared Expo or $10 a day at the door. Have a plan, bring your family, let the Get Prepared Expo get you started. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Keith Alexander. I believe we've got Eddie the Bombardier Miller for the last hour. Keith, we're back on the air.
I'll tell Eddie we got him for the last hour, and I got a story. We got to talk about what he's doing at church.
Okay. Well, Eddie's going to try to get us all involved in his church plan, and quite frankly, I think it sounds like a great idea. It sounds like, you know, Eddie's come up with a winner here on that.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about.
What's going on, James? Give me, you know, let's bring this let's land this Asiana aircraft here without knocking off the tail section.
And then we got Dr. Pappy in the third hour. But now, just a quick one, Keith. I know we've been covering a lot of this is the political cesspool. And so we have to drain the sewage each and every week, and it piles up in between our weekly broadcast. But I got a story here, a little bit of a lighter note. I've been talking, of course, throughout the program tonight that I am in Biloxi, Mississippi tonight, and there's a lot of great history and heritage down here, particularly that of Jefferson Davis, his home. And
they've just gotten through with a big renovation project down there, I understand, according to the Sons of Confederate Veterans, of which I'm a proud member, by the way.
Well, that's right. Not long ago, it was restored. Of course, the political cesspool played a role in the relief effort in 2005, and I was rewarded with some slate from the original roof of the mansion that sheltered the head of the Confederate president. And we sent that off, I believe, last year, parts of that piece that I was given to people who had contributed to the show. But
let me mention one thing while we're on before we get away from the Sons of Confederate Veterans. The local branches of the Sons of Confederate Veterans here in the Memphis area are planning a birthday party celebration in Forest Park. No, we're not politically correct. We're not going to call it Health Sciences Park, as our fearless leaders at City Hall want us to. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Sunday, July the 14th. And I'm imploring everybody in the Memphis area to be there or be square tomorrow. We need to show some support for this. You know, the other side is saying that nobody cares about the Confederate parks, and we need to show them how wrong they are.
A timely announcement, if there ever was one, with only an evening to prepare, but I would highly encourage everyone to be there. I would be there if it were not that I'm on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So
I'm going to be there. I'll tell you that.
Hey, go meet Keith Alexander, everybody. Speaking of the Confederacy, I've got a related story, a little bit something from the lighter side of the news. You know the great Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers, Keith, with his older brother Don. They pioneered the country rock vocal harmony in the late 1950s. A lot of great hits. Wake Up Little Susie, All I Have to Do Is Dream, Bye Bye Love, When Will I Be Love, Kathy's Found, and many, many more. But Phil Everly lives in an antebellum home in Maury County, Tennessee, not far from Nashville, and it's the home that once sheltered those in Bedford Forest. Here's the story. Those in Bedford Forest didn't actually live in the home, but he recuperated there at one time. The story goes that General Forrest, which is mentioning him, so this ties in perfectly. General Forrest had a violent argument with one of his lieutenants named Willis Gould, and words were exchanged. Gould shot Forrest in the hip, and Forrest, of course, killed him. And Forrest recuperated in the bedroom that is now Phil Everly. So Phil Everly bought an antebellum mansion near Nashville that was used as a makeshift hospital for Nathan Bedford Forrest. The room where Nathan Bedford Forrest recuperated is now Phil Everly's bedroom. And this is something that, in telling the story to the New York Times, I believe it was a publication in New York, Phil Everly was quite proud of. So it's good to know that somebody like Phil Everly takes pride in the fact that his bedroom was once used by Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Well, that shows he's got his head screwed on right, and I've always been a great admirer of the Everly Brothers. In fact, the Everly Brothers are paragons of Southern manhood based on, you know, the lyrics in their songs, and I would recommend that Courtney from Alabama and Not Your Average Housewife and Chris and a lot of the other people, all the ladies that contribute to our blog and participate in blog discussions, go to YouTube and get the old version with the guys dressed up in their 50s garb, not just their 50s garb, the way they were in the 50s, for the song Devoted to You. Now, Devoted to You shows you a striking counterpoint to, let's say, Project Pat of Memphis, a black rap artist. Compare the sentiments in Gorilla Pimp by Project Pat on one hand and the sentiments expressed by the Everly Brothers in Devoted to You. Now, ladies, this is what you should be expecting from your significant other. This type of treatment. This is what represents the best of our heritage. And, you know, compared with the Project Pat treatment of women that is expressed in songs like Gorilla Pimp or Not From My Hood or whatnot, If You Ain't From My Hood, that's what we need to do. And we need to remember, you know, if you have any questions about whether America in the 50s was a better place than America today, counterpoint those two songs, Gorilla Pimp by Project Pat on one hand and Devoted to You by the Everly Brothers. And as you can see, the contrast is the contrast between day and night.
Well, and Keith, the Everly Brothers also have the great romantic song, Let It Be Me. You know, when I hear that song, I just close my eyes and just shake my head. I mean, when it starts, it's just so beautiful. And
there were many of them. There was not an objectionable lyric in any of their songs. They were true gentlemen, true Southern gentlemen. They were from Kentucky.
The song Wake Up Little Susie was deemed controversial because two teenagers fell asleep at the movie theater and were a few minutes late getting home.
Was a common theme back in the 50s. Ricky Nelson had a song written by Memphian Johnny Burnett, who broke into his own with I'm Dreaming and You're 16, You're Beautiful in Your Mind. He wrote the song It's Late. That's another one you need to look up on YouTube, folks. Ricky Nelson, It's Late.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you this. You know, black music was very good back then. Mel Carter, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, and then I think it was the Drifters.
Band of Gold was another one that he did, which was a beautiful song.
Well, what about, I was listening today on the radio on my drive down to the Gulf, Up on the Roof, and I think it was either the Drifters or the Coasters, but Up on the Roof is just, one of the best songs ever made, and, you know, and they had these songs, well-written, well-articulated, great arrangements, talking about love and, cherishing a woman.
That's what it's about in a marriage.
But when they were liberated in the civil rights movement, you know, then they were able to progress to Lil Wayne, rappers like Lil Wayne, where every other word is the F word and talking about killing and doing drugs and just sexual deviance
Project Pat talking about slitting the throat of a prostitute that works for him as the Mac Daddy pimp.
Okay. Right. See, I mean, you know, but they were liberated, and thank God, you know, they don't have to live in the bondage of people like Mel Carter anymore. You know, great artists, great music. You know, thank God they progressed from the era of those schmucks.
Yeah, just imagine. See, that's why we say, folks, just to put a cherry on top, liberalism is the modern face of evil. The sexual revolution and the drug culture are as much a part of liberalism as the civil rights movement or the feminist movement or any other movement, criminal rights movement. This is all one part of the same poisonous package. And that's, if you want to know why America is diminished in economic power, in authority, in every way, why we have, you know, constantly rising illegitimacy rate, why we have, increased poverty, why America's crime rate, particularly violent crime, has gone up astronomically since the 50s. This is all change that can be laid at the feet of liberalism and liberals. You know, they say celebrate diversity. Our rejoinder is look at those changes and tell me what there is to celebrate. I don't find anything.
Well, Keith, you have punched the clock tonight, my friend, and kept the studio warm and buzzing this evening. Look forward to rejoining you there next week, but not before I go to Lebanon, Missouri, and spend a little time with Sam Bushman, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that in the third hour. I'm going to be back on the road next week, but I should be home. I'm planning to be back in the studio on Saturday night in time to do the show.
Well, give me a call and let me know. And meanwhile, Eddie's like a racehorse. He's in the pen. He's waiting for the bell. He's chomping at the bit. And
well, we're ready.
I mean, he's ready to take it all. I mean, he's got steam snorting out of both nostrils, and he's ready to come, man.
Well, we're certainly ready for Eddie Bollinger Miller to slide into the captain's seat.
There. Yeah, I mean, he's back. He may drop a few bombs by mistake before we get over the target area, but he's doing like Lyndon Johnson. He's showing me his appendix scar here or whatever.
All right, we got to take a break. Eddie will be in on deck for the third hour, and I'll be here with you as well. Stay tuned, everybody. Love you, Keith. Talk to you when I get home. Everybody else.
Likewise, my friend. Be careful. Drive safely.
You got it.
Physical cesspool is in the can. But don't go away, there's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.